Shem she'adam mitzavet b'chavod aviv. Like a person is obligated to honor his father. B'yiraso and tefirim kachu chayev b'chavod rabo. He's also obligated to honor his Rebbe. B'yiraso and tefirim. The rabo and his Rebbe. Yosem aviv. More so than his father. She'aviv hiviyu l'chayom mazeh. Because your father gives you this world. The Rabbu Shiyot Limdu Chachma, and your Rebbe who teaches you wisdom, Heviyu L'chayim Olam Haba, he brings you to the next world. The Rebbe is gone, our father. Rav Noach was a gadol, he was a giant in so many ways. He was a giant in Torah, and his ratzon, his will to learn, when he was in the mirror, 18 hours straight, he would learn. He would put his feet in ice water to stay up. His creative genius, he was a giant. He not only knew all of Torah, and his genius was he could show the relevance, the power of Jewish wisdom to anyone. 5 decades. I went to Eish HaTorah in the 70s. As I was coming in, the 60s hippies were sort of heading out. Whether it was the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, now, it didn't matter. The Rosh Yeshiva could speak to anyone from any country of any age and impact and touch them. The incredible twinkle in his eye and his ability to explain and give Torah Chaim, to give a Torah that was life-giving. H.com, if you haven't had the chance, go and just listen to the 48 Ways to Wisdom. That changed my life. That changed anybody's life who heard Rav Noach teach it. He was a giant in Avas Hashem and Avas Abrius. He loved the Almighty and he loved people. The Almighty gave us 2 luchos, 2 tablets. On one was written our obligations towards the Almighty, and the other, Bein Adam L'Chavero, towards people. And the Rosh Yeshiva carried these 2 all the time. The way he loved the Almighty, that's the way he loved the human being. It took exactly 1 wink of an eye for you to feel that you were the most important, valuable person on the planet. His love was so palpable. He understood that to love people is only because you love God, and if you love God, then you can love people. You have to carry the 2 luchos together. And his love, it was expressed in the way we should all express love. Because when you were with the Rosh Yeshiva, you felt that you could change the world by yourself. He looked at you, and you felt that all that potential that you know you have, he just showed you, it's right there, you can do it. He was a giant in responsibility. The Midrash tells us that Noach was on the Teva, he was on the ark, and he's taking care of the animals, and the animals all had different eating schedules. And the Midrash says that Noach for 1 year didn't sleep, because when he had to feed this animal, then the next animal was ready, and then the next animal. The Rosh Yeshiva, That's his whole entire reality was, I got to take care of this world 24/7. I still can't understand it. But that's the way he was. He was a giant of responsibility. He was a giant of a teacher. Perkei Avos tells us, Ha'amidu talmidim harbei, stand up many students. You know, they sent out an email asking people to write those that had been touched by the Rosh Yeshiva's wisdom. And I think that the book of names they collected was close to 100,000 people. That's the people that heard about it. And that doesn't include the people too young of the people that sent their names in, to know that they should put their names in. But Ha'amidu, he stood them up. Rav Noach's mastery was to instill independence. Don't be a sheep. Don't just follow. Don't be a lemming. Be independent. Think for yourself. He was a giant for truth. He said the greatest disease was ignorance. Clarity or death. That was his clarion call. The world is insane. The Torah says you have to be sane. The Almighty says be sane, be real. He had a pureness and a clarity of Torah that empowered him to make decisions, to stick to them and fight for them. Anybody who was with the Rosh Yeshiva knew that his commitment to his ideals and his ideas, he would shout, he would bang, he would defend them like a lion. But he was an honest gadol. He was such a man of humility. A person who could passionately defend the Jewish people, the Almighty. And yet, he didn't need to sit at the table of great people. He didn't need accolades. He shunned it. That's my Rebbe. My father. I lived with the Rosh Yeshiva for 5 weeks. The Rebbetzin had to go to the States when I was a bacher of 20 years old. And for some reason, I was the one asked to stay in the Rosh Yeshiva's apartment with him, his house with the children. So just two little things that I remember. I remember the first morning. I remember being woken up by the Rosh Yeshiva before my alarm that I had set for 5:30. All of a sudden, down the hall, I heard this yell, "Moda Ani Lifanecha!" He cried out in the morning, 5:15, "Thank you God, I'm alive." He got up, kids got dressed. I asked him, "Rebbe, what is this? You know, I also say Modan. Eli Melech. You're alive. And then at night, 3:00 in the morning, I hear the baby crying. So that's my job. I'm supposed to get up. So I'm trying to get up. Managed to get up. I peek through the little curtain that separated where I was sleeping. And I see the Rosh Yeshiva has Rachel, has the baby, 8 months old. And I'm looking. The Rosh Yeshiva's holding Rachel. And I'll never forget it. He's holding her and he says, "Look at this soul." He said it over and over again. The Rosh Yeshiva had his love tap. If you were Zolcha to be slapped on the cheek by the Rosh Yeshiva, you'd hope that sting never went away. I have two boys in Eishet Torah. These are the Rosh Yeshiva's grandchildren. They shared with me today a couple of things. My Gabrielle used to walk with the Rosh Yeshiva every morning for 2 years, from the parking lot to the office. He said one day the Rosh Yeshiva was walking, and he turns to Gabrielle and he says, "Gabrielle, are you happy?" Gabrielle says, "Yeah, Rabbi, I'm happy." The Rosh Yeshiva says, "Gabrielle, are you happy?" He says, "I'm happy, Rabbi, I'm happy." "Gabrielle, look around you. Look at this world. Look at how gorgeous it is. Look at the flowers, Gabrielle. Look at the sky. Gabrielle, you got to dance if you're happy." Gabrielle says, "Okay, Rosh Yeshiva." And Rosh Yeshiva says, "So dance." And in the parking lot, Gabrielle danced. And the Rosh Yeshiva clapped. And my oldest son, Alicia, tells me something similar, because he also had the opportunity to walk with the Rosh Yeshiva. And he said to Alicia, "Alicia, why do people, you know, what do they feel when they win the lottery?" Alicia says, "Well, they feel happy, of course." "But why do they feel happy? They don't even have the money. What are they happy about?" "Rebbe, I don't know. What? But she says, "Because they know they have the opportunity to do anything. Alicia, look at you. You're young. At the whole world. You won the lottery. It's your opportunities are endless. Alicia, dance." And my other son danced while the Rosh Yeshiva clapped. Every Shabbos, the Rebbe used to come, and every Shabbos he would ask the kasha, he'd ask the question, what a thrill it was when you sat and you worked and you sang for the whole meal between the songs, and you went up to the Rosh Yeshiva at the main table, say, "Rebbe, I think I know the answer." And you give the answer. And then he'd smile at you and he'd say, "Think some more." But you walked away feeling like you'd won the lottery. My son Gabriel once asked him, "Rebbe, when you speak and in your office, I see that you often do this." He says, "Why do you do that, Rebbe? Does your back bother you?" She says, "No. I'm breathing in reality." He says, "What do you mean, Rebbe?" He says, "Every time I'm doing that, I'm thinking about the six constant mitzvahs." And if anybody's been with the Rosh Yeshiva, you'll see that every couple of minutes, he would kind of stretch out a little bit. Our Rosh Yeshiva, our Rebbe, our father, has taken his last breath. And it is devastating to be in a world without him. And how does the world spin without his love and his clarity and his passion and his commitment to Tikkun Olam, to Kiddush Hashem, to saving the Jewish people? He is... I would say irreplaceable. But the Rosh Yeshiva would not be happy with that. And let me conclude with what his son said today in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Hillel Weinberg said the following: "The rabbis teach us that at a hesped you should say something that the deceased would say if they were there." So Rav Hillel said, "My father would say, 'Better than eulogizing me is that you should become greater than me.'" He believed in our greatness. How do we honor our Rebbe? How do we honor our father? Maybe we start with believing that he was right. by fulfilling what he knew to be true, that we can all become great, we can all seek sanity, we can all love with every fiber of our being our Creator and his creation. We can bring back the Jewish people to their mission to be a light to the nations. We can sanctify the Almighty's name. We can all know, as he knew with total clarity, that the Almighty loves us with a great love, and absolutely and without any doubt that he will bring the Geula Shleima. Rebbe, Miss You does not begin to describe our feelings. But we know, as Lowy just said, that your sun shines and your rain nourishes. And like any parent, you will be unceasing in your efforts to bring your children home.